The costs of progress. Today's example is the new extension to New York City's subway. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. New York's long-awaited subway line is now officially open. The 2nd Avenue subway officially opened to the public yesterday. This extension of the Q line is the first major subway expansion in New York in over 50 years. Now residents of New York's Upper East Side will have shorter walks, maybe faster commutes, but along with the new convenience comes rising rents. Marketplace's Adam Allington has the story.
The new 2nd Avenue line costs $4.4 billion and is worth every penny, says Governor Andrew Cuomo.
That claustrophobic feeling is gone. These are large ceilings. There's artwork that is spectacular.
But even as the city celebrates the opening of the new line, others worry about a possible trade-off. Jun Choi owns a dry cleaning shop near one of the new stations. He fears his rent will go way up and he'll be priced out.
It could go double the rent that I'm paying now.
According to a report by the real estate website StreetEasy, people living near the three new stations could see rent increases over $450 a month. But that's actually not that much, says Redfin broker J.D. Police, especially in Manhattan, where commute times are everything.
Oh, it's priceless because it gets you from A to Z in minutes versus, you know, having to take a cab.
The next phase of the 2nd Avenue line will extend up to Harlem and cost an additional $6 billion. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. Some stock market indicators, even though Wall Street and many of the rest of us have a holiday today. The Dow gained 13.4% in 2016. The S&P 500 went up 9.5%. For the year gone by, the NASDAQ went up 7.5%. Markets here in London and Asia are closed today, but they are hard at it in Germany and France. The DAX index in Frankfurt is up 0.9% this morning. The CAC is up 0.4%. The dollar's down with the euro down at $1.48. The dollar is up at 117.4 Japanese yen. The dollar is down against China's yuan, 6.94 there. The car rental company Hertz will put in a new CEO tomorrow. As Sam Harnett reports, the change of guard comes amid major shifts in the car rental industry.
Last year, Hertz's performance lagged and its stocks plunged, underperforming those of its rival, Avis. Here's McGuire business analyst Hamza Mazari.
There's a big difference between the two, and we attribute that to management.
Mazari says Hertz management could have set more realistic business targets and better assess things like car depreciation in the fleet. The whole car rental industry is facing pressure from competitors like Uber and Lyft, says Peter Altman of the travel technology firm Amadeus.
I think that's why we are seeing a lot of management changes in the car rental companies.
And partly why rental car companies have merged, he says. Now three giants, Avis, Hertz, and Enterprise, control most of the market. Hertz's new CEO, Catherine Marinello, has automotive industry experience with General Motors and Volvo. To turn the ship around, Mazari says, she must invest in technologies and services to compete with the Ubers of the world. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Somebody's been counting healthcare apps for smartphones and tablets and figures there are 265,000 of them, and some of these apps may actually help improve care for patients. Mount Sinai Health Systems in New York is taking a meta approach. Their app helps physicians prescribe other apps, mobile programs that have been evaluated and ranked. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Sometimes apps can make a difference. Take 32-year-old Laura Webb, who for a decade has wrestled with Crohn's disease, an inflammatory bowel condition.
I've been hospitalized so often, and I'd been in a coma. I'd had multiple blood transfusions. I had to learn how to walk again. I even lost all of my hair twice.
Webb's doing well now, but like many people with chronic conditions, her case takes constant management. A simple app that helps her and her doctor keep tabs on her symptoms can be the difference between another hospitalization and tweaking her meds. Research shows physicians at two-thirds of the nation's largest hospitals now want to prescribe apps, but only a tiny fraction of patients are following through. Here's one reason why.
If a patient then goes to their Google Play or App Store, they will put Mount Sinai there, and I'm doing it as we're speaking.
Dr. Ashish Atreja walks me through what can happen when patients try to download a Mount Sinai app for hospital appointments.
And we suddenly see there's so many apps with just Mount Sinai name.
Actually, more than 40 apps pop up on Atreja's phone, totally daunting for patients. And then there's the doctor. For example, Atreja, a gastroenterologist who treats Laura Webb, knows he wants to track patient symptoms at home. But which app should he prescribe?
There's so many apps. Either the doctors don't know which apps to choose, and then we don't know how to get the right app into the hands of the patient at the right time.
Atreja believes Prescription Universe is the solution. It's an app for apps, and one of several emerging businesses looking to take advantage of this new market. Prescription Universe does several things. It ranks medical apps by effectiveness, makes it easy for the patient to download the prescription, and has a feedback channel so the doctor can monitor patient data. It's been so popular at Mount Sinai, doctors are prescribing as many as 300 apps a day.
What they're essentially building is a platform, and the platform potentially solves a problem for doctors and patients, which are they're struggling with all of this hype and all of these potentially cool gizmos.
Dr. Bob Wachter is the author of the book, The Digital Doctor. Wachter says the danger is things like Prescription Universe or its competitors can offer the illusion of information without quality data. The truth, he says, is most apps often lack the scientific evidence and rigor to know if they can really work and improve the quality of our lives. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And the Mexican government is deregulating gasoline to bring in foreign investment for what had been a tightly regulated state-run market. A key milestone in this ongoing process hit yesterday, the first of the year. In some parts of Mexico, gas prices went up about 20%. Many Mexicans were shocked by the new prices, and there have been protests and long lines at some gas pumps. The Mexicans have a word for a sudden bump in gas prices. It's called a gasolinazo. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.